wireless mics back there on your way up, if you could bring that to me. Thank you. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. Last week we looked at burdens of life, burdens that we share. We're to bear one another's burdens. We looked at burdens that we have to shoulder. Talked about the fact that sometimes physical ailments, and we have to bear the weight of that, the trial of that. Also, consequences to choices. Those are burdens we have to shoulder, and that really ties in with the message today. We also looked at burdens to shed, and we can cast our cares on the Lord because He cares for us. But looking at burdens to shoulder really ties in with verses 7 through 10 this morning as we look at laws of the harvest. Verse 7 of chapter 6, it says, "Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he that sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Thank you, sir. Verse 9, "And let us not grow weary in well-doing, or in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So we look at this text today. I'm going to just look at some laws of the harvest. And again, it ties in with, we reap what we sow. Going back to burdens that we have to shoulder, and so we're going to be looking at the positive and negative aspect of that this morning. So let's pray, and we'll dig into this text. Father, thank you for the opportunity today that we've been able to gather here together already and to open your word in the Sunday school hour and glean truths from your word, the fellowship that we can have, the time singing praises to you and coming to you in prayer. And Lord, I just pray that each one of us, that we would be attentive to your word today, that we would apply your word, that we'd be challenged to make changes that we should in order to glorify you the way you deserve. And also, Lord, that we'd leave here encouraged by your word as well. As your word exhorts and challenges, there's also, we're always left, Lord, with the way out, the way up. And so I pray again today for each one of us that we would walk out the doors changed for your glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me get wired here and then we'll jump in. Okay, laws of the harvest. The first law here. If my clicker, it's not working, Luke. You might have to advance the first one. I don't know how they fix that when it doesn't work, but all of a sudden it tends to start. Today's a day where everything's breaking. Came in, the first thing they say is the refrigerator's not working. So, and I know it's an electrical issue. Then the sound didn't work down there, and now my clicker isn't working. First law here is we reap only what has been sown. That's a law of the harvest. There's a couple different aspects to this. The first thing that I want to look at here is passively. Okay, so we're going to look at passively and actively. We reap what others have sown before us. This is passive. And we reap either the benefits or the consequences of what has been sown before us. When it comes to God, blessings we reap because of God, what God has done. How many here have reaped the blessings of God? Anybody here? I think we all have. Are you breathing? Have you taken in nourishment? Do you have a roof over your head? And we have so many blessings. In fact, James says every good and perfect gift comes from above. Anything good we have is from God. So we have the blessings of common grace. I mean, these are things that God has done for us, the blessings of common grace. Whether a person realizes it or not, every good and perfect gift does come from Him. Think of two farmers. I mean, they have two farms. They have bordering property. One farmer's a believer, and he's put his faith in Christ. He's wholeheartedly serving God. He gets up in the morning. He thanks God for God's provision. He's serving in the local church, and he's trying to raise his family to serve the Lord. Then the other farmer's an unbeliever, and he doesn't even believe in the existence of God. When it rains, does it only rain on the believer's crops? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. A common grace. And so we reap the blessings because of what God has done. So you have the blessing of common grace. You have the blessing of salvation by grace. How many here deserve to be saved, to be forgiven, to spend eternity in heaven? None of us. So we have the blessing of salvation by grace, and God sent His Son to pay the penalty for our sin, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And we all reap the benefits of common grace. We reap the benefits of salvation by grace. These are things that God has done. I don't deserve salvation. It's not by works of righteousness that I've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And so we have the blessings we reap because of what God has done. We also, blessings or consequences we reap because of what others have done. Anybody here reap the blessings of what someone has sown before? And I've reaped the blessings of a father who loved the Lord, who worked hard, who raised me to serve and love the Lord. I've reaped the blessings of what he has sown. And so we have this, and again, this is passively. How many here enjoy, and you get up this morning, you came here, you weren't persecuted, you have a Bible, you can read openly. Are you reaping the blessings of what someone else has done before you? Think a veteran. There's vets that gave their life. They gave up time with their families to secure our freedom. And so we've reaped what they have sown. We've reaped the blessings of what they have sown passively. We didn't do that. They did. And we reap the blessings. There's also consequences. Maybe you didn't grow up in a great home. Maybe you've had to face some consequences from what someone else has sown. Someone else's choices, and you've had to reap the consequences of what they have sown. So passively, you reap what has been sown. Someone sows good seed, we reap the good blessings. Someone sows to the flesh, and we have reaped the consequences of their choices. And so you have positively or negatively that we have reaped what others have sown. But actively, we reap what we have sown. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You reap what has been sown. And so when you think of actively, if you sow corn, you're going to reap corn. If you go out and sow beans, you're going to reap beans. You reap only what you sow. Text says, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. And this is a law of the harvest. You can't change that. It's like the law of gravity. If you go out on the peak of this roof and jump off, what's going to happen? You can't defy the law of gravity. I've tried it. It doesn't work. You can't defy the law of the harvest. Whatever you sow, that you will also reap. You can't change that. You look at this. Consider David in the Bible. What did David do? David coveted his neighbor's wife. David committed adultery. David committed murder. Was David forgiven? Absolutely. Did he face the consequences of the seed that he had sown, this corruption that he had sown? He did, and we'll get to that in a little bit, but you reap what you sow. Think of the nation of Israel. God's chosen people, and he tells them to go into this promised land, drive out all the inhabitants of the land, and there would be this blessing that would come. They go in. They didn't completely drive out the inhabitants. They left pockets of these idol worshipers. They intermarry, and what happens? Eventually, they're taken off into captivity. They reaped what they had sown. It's a law that you can't defy. So if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. So this text is a call to sow that which is good. It's a call to sow that which is good in God's eyes. If you look at Scripture, and what kind of seed should we sow? Well, we should sow thankfulness. And Psalm 100 is a call for us to be thankful. This is a call to love your neighbor. It's a call to love your enemies. It's a call to do good to those who persecute you, to pray for those who spitefully use you. This is a call to trust God, not to lean on my own understanding. What happens when we lean on our own understanding? What's the result of that? I mean, we reap the consequences. And so this is a call to pray for others, to seek God's will. It's a call to bear one another's burdens. It's a call to be a living sacrifice. I mean, go through Scripture and see these different commands of God. And this is the kind of seed that we should be sowing. This is a call to sow that which is good. And what happens when we sow that good seed? We reap what? We reap the blessings of it. We reap the blessings of obedience to the Word of God. Psalm 1 is a familiar psalm. But if you look at that psalm, turn to Psalm chapter 1. And really, this psalm, if you look at it, it explains the law of the harvest. Psalm chapter 1, it's only 6 verses long. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." This person is blessed, and then it says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." You sow this good seed, you'll be blessed, and you'll be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. Then it says, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall stand in the judgment, shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." You reap what you sow. It's a call to sow that which is good. If we sow indifference to God, if we sow that seed of rejection of His Word, we don't follow His Word, what happens? We face the consequences of this. If we sow indifference, we'll reap the fruit of indifference. You might be sitting here today and maybe you're living a life that, and you're not following God's Word. You're not being obedient to God's Word, and you might even think, "I'm getting by with it." But can you defy the law of the harvest? What's God's Word say? Be sure your sin will what? It will find you out. You're not going to get by with it. Your sin will find you out. Even if it's not on this earth, you will stand before God. And God, you'll stand before Him at some point. And so you will reap what you sow. You're not going to get by with it. If you sow bad seed, you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. The second law here is we reap in a different season than we sow. There's too many believers today. They go out and reap corruptible seed, disobedience and indifference to the Word of God, indifference to the principles of God's Word, and then they come in and all they do is pray for a crop failure. That isn't how it works. You reap in a different season. You're not going to get by with it. It will catch up to you. It always does. Go back to our text. It says, "God will not be mocked." Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, he will reap. You reap what you sow. It might not be immediate, but you reap in a different season than you sow. The harvest, and when I first typed this, I said the harvest never comes immediately, but I've seen it come immediately. And you ever do something and immediately get whacked by God? Sometimes that happens. So I put rarely comes immediately. Sometimes it does. But you reap in a different season than you sow. Plants don't grow overnight. And you plant a garden and it takes a while to see that seed germinate and it pops through the soil and it grows and you eventually get that harvest. And so it rarely comes immediately. Negatively, Deuteronomy 32:35, it says, "In due time their foot will slip. The day of their calamity is near, and the impending things are hastening upon them." This is Moses, and it's Israel's disobedience. It would catch up to them. That's the context with Deuteronomy 32. Vengeance is mine and retribution. In due time, their foot will slip. The day of their calamity is near, and the impending things are hastening upon them. On a positive side of this, think of Hannah. Hannah was barren. She couldn't have children. And she prayed to God, and she prayed to God, and she prayed to God. And eventually, it came about in due time that she had a child. She reaped the blessings. That's the positive side. It didn't happen right away. There's a time frame. Back in our text in Galatians 6:9, and let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. And so you have the positive side of this. Your reward, where is our reward ultimately as believers? It's in heaven. The world might sit back and see and mock you. But where's our reward? It's in heaven. And that's ultimately where our reward is. You go back and read Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. And some of these people never saw it with their own eyes on this side of heaven. But our labor's not in vain. Our reward is in heaven. And so we reap what we sow, and it'll come in due time. The next law, we reap more than we sow. Hosea 8:7 says, for they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. And you go out and you plant a garden, you put that seed in the ground, you plant one kernel of corn, and what do you get out of that? I read one time how many kernels are in a cob, but I can't remember. But it's way more than one. You reap way more than you sow. Again, let's look at the negative side of this. Consider David. Let's go back to 2 Samuel 12. Verses 9 through 14. So David has committed adultery with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. Then he commits murder. And Nathan the prophet confronts him and he says, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you've despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. For you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And you look at David, and you know the story, and you see these indictments and these judgments. You killed Uriah, verse 9. The judgment, the sword will never depart from your house. And do you reap what you sow? And is there any way that you can get around that law? The indictment, you took his wife, verse 9. Verse 11, your wives will be taken from your eyes. The indictment in verse 12, you did this secretly. The judgment, your wives will be defiled openly before Israel. The indictment, you gave occasion to the enemies to blaspheme the Lord. The judgment, your child also born to you shall surely die. Verse 14. That's the law of the harvest. You reap to the flesh, or you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. That's the negative side of this. David's indictments, David's judgments. Positively, we'll go back to David again. David's repentance. And David repented. He agreed with God, this is sin. He turned from that. What was David called? He's a man after God's own heart. Did David receive blessing from God? He did. And so you have that positive side as well. The negative side, you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. Thank God for forgiveness, right? And you praise God for His forgiveness. And David was blessed. But also on the other side of this, giving. 2 Corinthians 9:6, you see this principle of sowing and reaping on the positive side. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "Now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully." Again, this is reference to giving. And so this, as you give to the Lord's work, there's blessing. You give sparingly, you reap sparingly. You give bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. The fourth law, the bountiful harvest takes work. How many here plant a garden? There's a couple, a few. How's that? If you go out and plant that garden, you work up the soil, you plant the seed, don't touch it, come back 3 months later, what do you have? What's that? A mess. You have a bunch of weeds, and maybe you might get a couple things that you planted, maybe. But usually the weeds are going to choke it out, and you're going to have a mess. But to get a bountiful harvest, what do you have to do? It takes work. And I've seen Anderson's garden and grafts and the birds. Man, and that garden, it just is. And it's just, Jerry brags about his corn. In fact, we lived just a mile north of him, and we had corn. There's a competition. See who had the tallest corn. But he cheats because he has this hose coming out of the lake and he has all these sprinklers, that nice lake water with all the minerals in it. He called me one day and he said, what the FFA had called him. Told me he had to put a beacon out there for lights so the planes didn't hit his corn. So, yeah, he beat us every year. His corn was always taller. But the work that it takes to get a bountiful harvest, And you put all that time and effort into planting that garden, you can't just walk away from it. A bountiful harvest takes work. And in Galatians 6, 9 and 10, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith." If you've planted a garden, you can't plant it and just walk away from it. You have to tend to the garden. You have to pull the weeds. You have to go in there. You have to water it if you're going to get a good harvest. It requires ongoing care. So don't lose heart. Don't grow weary. Again, where's your reward? Where's your reward? It's in heaven. Is the harvest immediately? And you plant and you tend and you work, and you might not see the results. But even going back to that first law, you reap what you sow. And do we realize that what we sow affects the next generation? Think about this as a nation. Where's our nation right now? The choices that are made today are going to affect our kids and our grandkids. The choices we make as a nation, they're going to have to suffer the consequences or reap the benefits of the choices that are made. Think of our families. We need to make right choices. We need to tend to the garden. Plant good seed and work the garden. Tend the garden. Don't lose heart. Don't give up, because a bountiful harvest will come. Why? Because it's a law of the harvest. And then law number 5, we can't do anything about last year's harvest, but I can about this year. You know, have there any things that you regret? Choices you've made, consequences you've faced, and they got you down and discouraged? You can't do anything about last year's harvest. It's done, it's over. And so learn from the past, but don't live in the past. You ever try driving down the road and doing nothing but look in the rearview mirror? What's going to happen? It isn't going to work, and you're going to pile up in a heap. You can't live life in the rearview mirror. So learn from the past, But don't live in the past. Whatever you did last year, last month, last week, even yesterday, it's over. It's done. You can't change that. Learn from it, but don't live in it. No, you can confess, right? In fact, if you have sinned, what do you need to do? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the first thing. That's what you can do about past seed that has been planted. You know, seed sown to the flesh. But learn from the past. Don't live in the past. Learn to live with consequences, but understand forgiveness is available. Just because you've had a bad harvest, because you've sown bad seed, doesn't mean life is over. You know, about a year ago, year and a half ago, I woke up to a text. I've woke up more than just a year and a half ago. Every morning I wake up. But I woke up and I had a text, and it came through, I don't know, 3-4 hours before I woke up. I didn't hear it, didn't get it, but it said, Berg, life's over. I did something stupid. Consequences are too big. I'm going to take my life. Call me. And I finally got a hold of this person and asked what happened. I said, yeah, you made a mistake. That was dumb. But life's not over. There's consequences, but there's forgiveness. And you can make right choices from here on. And this isn't it. It's not over. You can confess that, and you can plant good seed from here on out. And whatever you did, you can't change yesterday, but you can confess that sin, and you can focus on next year's crop. Commit yourself to this year's harvest. What are you going to do? What are you going to do starting right now? What decision are you going to make right now? What kind of seed are you going to sow from here on out? You can't change yesterday, but you can from here forward, can't you? And have you ever heard somebody say, well, God can't use me because of this? Is that true? God can use you. God has a purpose and a plan. Yet you might have messed up. Praise God for forgiveness. David was forgiven. God used David. Commit yourself to this year's harvest. What are you going to do this year? What are you going to do from here on moving forward? Learn from the past. Accept the consequences. Okay, I know I have consequences from this choice, but I'm going to move forward. From here on out, I'm going to plant good seed. And so the application here, the so what? The laws of the harvest will not fail. It's like the law of gravity. It's going to happen. You reap what you sow. You'll reap what you sow. You'll reap in a different season than you sow. You'll reap more than you sow. A bountiful harvest will take work. And you can't do anything about last year. That's a fact. The laws of the harvest will not fail. So make sure you're sowing good seed. Make sure you're sowing to the Spirit. Don't sow to the flesh. If you've been sown to the flesh, change it right now. Stop right now. Make sure you're sowing to the Spirit. Make sure you're tending to the crop. You ever gotten discouraged? And you ever, you know, you're serving the Lord, you're doing what He wants you to do, and it just seems like, man, things just aren't going the way you thought they should go, the way you had planned. And tend to the crop. Make sure you're tending. And don't grow weary in well-doing. You know, I look at in 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. And it says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain. And if you're serving the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Keep tending to the crop. And then don't judge your harvest by the world's standards or the world's ideas of success. And oftentimes, and the world looks and thinks, well, and you know, this person doesn't. How does the world judge success? It's oftentimes how much money you have in the bank, and all these, how many toys you have. How does God judge success? And does it honor Him? Does it glorify Him? Does it last for eternity? And so we can sit around and we can think, well, I'm not a success because I don't see this or I don't see that. But who do we leave the results up to? We leave them up to God. Our job is to be faithful. We're to be good stewards with what God has given us. We're to serve Him and leave the results up to Him. And so don't judge your harvest by the standards of the world. And then I'll just leave you with this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:9. I have this written on my whiteboard. Every morning I go into my office, I look over at that board because the calendar's on there, and I see this verse. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we make it our aim to please Him. What's your goal in life? If that's my goal, is to please Him, I'm going to sow to the Spirit. I'm not going to sow to the flesh. And I'm not going to reap corruption. What's your goal? What's your aim? As you walk out these doors today, what kind of seed are you going to sow? Because the laws of the harvest will not fail. They will come to pass. Make it your goal and make it your aim to please Him. May we sow good seed, tend to the crop, and receive a bountiful harvest for His glory. Because it's about Him, not about us, right? Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this reminder today from Your Word. These laws of the harvest, You've set them. They won't fail. Perhaps there's someone here today, they're discouraged from past decisions, current consequences. Lord, for that person, I just pray that they would realize that forgiveness is available and that You still can use them, that they can plant good seed moving forward and reap the benefits of that. Lord, maybe there's some here that have been sowing good seed, but there's that discouragement because we're not seeing the results. And for that person, Lord, I just pray that they'd be encouraged to continue to keep the hand of the plow, to tend the crop, and remember that You're the one who gives the increase. So Lord, I pray as we leave here today, we'd make it our aim to please You. That would be our focus, that would be our desire, and that through this body of believers, You would do a work in this community, in our families, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brian.